interesting stronghold that we're going to talk about this morning. It's called prayer. And you're thinking, Aubrey, have you lost it? How can prayer be a stronghold that we need to break down? Let me try and explain what I mean with this. It actually starts with a question. And the question is this: how bold are you in your prayers? How bold are you in your prayers? Because not too many of us in our prayer life would run to heaven and start banging on heaven's door with our prayers. Not too many of us like Jacob wrestle with God in our prayers. Even just saying that kind of feels a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? Or pound on heaven's doors. And yet, if you go read God's words, go look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. There's this beautiful invitation where God says, come boldly to the throne of grace. And when you come boldly, there you will receive all that you need. My question, stronghold, how bold are you in your prayers? To help us with that, we're going back to our wonderful friend Joshua. I'm going to read two passages for you this morning. First passage, we're going to see when Joshua does not talk to the Lord, what happens and the consequences in that, little dire consequences. And then we'll see in the second story, when Joshua's really bold before the Lord, the stunning things that God can do. So read with me as we go to Joshua chapter 9, verses 3 to 16. And of course, the morning that I'm going to read a lot, I don't have the glasses, right? So I'm going to skip verse 14 at some stage, but I will come back to it. So when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins cracked and mended. They put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. And then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the Israelites, we come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us. The Israelites said to the Hivites, but perhaps you live near us, so how can we make a treaty with you? We are your servants, they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, who are you and where do you come from? And they answered, your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard reports of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon king of Heshbon and Og king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. And our elders and all those living in our country said to us, take provisions for your journey. Go and meet them. Say to them, we are your servants. Make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left to come to you. But see how dry and moldy it is. And these wineskins that were filled were new. But see how cracked they are. And our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey. And now I'm going to skip verse 14. I'm going to go to verse 15. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live. And the leaders of the assembly ratified it by an oath. Now look what happened. Verse 16. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors living near them. It took them 3 days. 3 days to realize that they had been tricked and fooled by this ruse of these very clever people from Gibeon who came at them. But here's my question. Why did it take them 3 days before Joshua and the elders and the leaders realized that they had fallen into a trap and the people who came to them only came to trick them? Why did it take them 3 days? The answer is in a biblical but in verse 14. I'm going to read that with you. The Israelites sampled their provisions. So they checked the food and the bags. But they did not inquire of the Lord. They didn't consult the Lord. Here's the mistake. Because here's the thing. Let me tell you how this story works. When God told Moses to appoint Joshua as the leader, please go and read this afternoon. It's written in Numbers 27, Numbers chapter 27. You only have to read from verse 17, 18 down to 21. You'll see this little story. When God told Moses to appoint Joshua, the most important thing God said to Moses was, Moses, tell Joshua not to do anything, not to go anywhere before he consults with the Lord. Let him go to the priest Eliezer. And Eliezer will use the Urim and the Thummim to consult God. And once he has consulted God, he will tell them what to do, and then they will know what to do. And then verse 21 in Numbers 27 says, and when Eliezer did not say to go, they would not go out. And if he said, don't come in, they would not come in, because he would consult God. Joshua and the leaders checked the food. They checked the bags. Oh, yeah, it's old cheese. It's old food. It's old bread. Oh, look at the old wine. We don't even want to touch that. But they never asked God, God, what's going on with these people? And they were tricked. They made a treaty which would have consequences in their life and what would happen to them after this. Let me leave Joshua and the elders there for a second, and let's just come back to us and our own lives. We have an enemy that is far more sly than the people of Gideon, that is always out to fool us and to trick us and to catch us. He's so clever. He's been doing that since the beginning of time. How can we stand against him? There's only one thing that we can do. We need to consult the Lord in everything we do. First ask, then act. Lord, is this really from you? Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Lord, is this really the path that you want me to follow? Lord, is what this young man, this young woman is saying to me, wanting me to do, really what you want me to do? Lord, is this what my peers are saying to me? Is this really from you? Should I be doing this? Consult the Lord in all of your decisions. Consult the Lord in those defining moments of your life. That's the only way in which we can outwit this enemy. Ask and then act. And when you ask and God has given you the answer, trust God, even if sometimes you think, God, I think I know a little better than you. Ask and trust God. And if you ask and you're not sure, don't act. Wait. And ask again. And wait until the Lord answers. And only then move and do consult the Lord, because the enemy, he's after us, just like these enemies were after Joshua and Joshua's people. Now let me take you back to Joshua. So they make this treaty with them. And then there's this interesting thing that happens. The kings of the mountain area of Canaan, five of them, hear what the Gibeonites did. They're really angry because Gibeon was one of their main cities. So they decide, all five of them, they are going to attack the people of Gibeon and teach them a lesson. The Gibeonites, they have the trump card in their hand. When these kings come to attack them, they send a message to Joshua, because they only lived a day away from them. Joshua, you made a treaty with us. You signed that with an oath. Your elders signed it. You have to come and help us fight against these other kings that are coming against us. You have no choice. Are you ready for another fight, Joshua? He has no choice, because he didn't consult the Lord. And now the consequences of that is, he's got his people back into another fight. And they have to go and do a war. He talks to the Lord. The Lord says, it's good. I'll be with you. Now read with me what happens in chapter 10. Oh, I love this. This is one of my favorite chapters. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. So that would be the special ops troops in our language. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I've given them into your hand. Because this time Joshua spoke to the Lord about this. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. Those five kings stood no chance, because God was with Joshua. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. And Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. And as they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them. And more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. And I just stopped there for a second. Now, watch this moment. Remember what our question is. How bold are you in your prayers? So Joshua and his army are fighting these five kings. They are pursuing them. They're cutting them down. And then Joshua realizes, oh my goodness, we have a bit of a problem. It's getting late and it's getting dark. And we can't fight in the dark. So if we don't get rid of them now, what can happen during the night? They can ask for people to come help them, to strengthen them. They can put their army back together again, and we'll have a brand new fight tomorrow. So what does Joshua do? This time, Joshua does exactly what he should have done in the first instance. Joshua prays. Now listen to this. Verse 12. On the day that the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, he's praying in front of all these people, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation avenged itself on its enemies. As it is written in the book of Jasher, he says, go read it up, it's there. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down a full day. Now verse 40. There has never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. And then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. You must underline this verse in your Bible. Go read it over and over. The day that the Lord listened to a human being. The Hebrew word is the word shama, which means to hear. But it can also mean to obey. The Message translates this, the day that God took orders from a human being. Can you see what happened here? Joshua was bold in his prayer to the Lord. And Joshua said, Lord, stop the sun. Lord, stop the moon. And he banged on heaven's door. And God says, I'm going to listen to you, Joshua. But I'm not just going to listen and hear. I am going to act because of the boldness of your prayer, Joshua. And I will stop the sun and I will stop the moon. And God did that for Joshua. Here's the thing. God wants to do that for us as well, my friends. But then we have to be bold and honest and not afraid in our prayers. Because like Joshua, all we have is God. Like Joshua, we have enemies that want to prevent us to come into our promised land. That place where God allows me to be who I am made to be in Him. We have enemies that want to push us back, right back into our wilderness lives, into the wilderness. And the only way that we can stand against them is with prayer. Bold, honest, continuous prayer. You're a member of God's family. When you go to the Lord, you don't go to the Lord as a stranger. You go to the Lord as one of His children. And when you speak to your Father hears you and knows you, and your Father wants to act on your behalf. Be bold and ask. Someone wrote the most beautiful words. He said, Jesus spilled His blood for us on the cross. Why can we not spill our hearts before God's throne of grace? How bold are you in your prayers? Go spill your heart before God. God just doesn't want to hear them. God wants to act on those prayers. For Joshua, God stopped the sun and the moon. Imagine the possibilities of what God wants to do for you, beloved child of God, bought in the blood of Jesus Christ. I know the battle is real, but so is the victory. Consult the Lord in everything. Call on the Lord for great things. And be bold in your prayers. And oh, don't forget the sunscreen. Because the day of victory is going to be a very long day. Amen. Thank you that we may be bold in our prayers, Lord. Thank you when we are bold. We can do that in humility in the name of Jesus, our Lord, whose blood was shed for us. Help us, Lord, to remember that we have you. And you love us so much that all you want to give is the best. And sometimes your best is to say, don't do that. Sometimes your best is to say no, because you know, Lord. Sometimes we're so in a hurry. Teach us to to wait until we hear your voice as you lead us. There are so many voices that come at us. There are so many things that come at us. Help us to learn, Lord, that not an inch we will give. We will stand in prayer before you. Thank you that you hear our prayers and that you answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.